Today we begin a 12-part sermon series on prayer. We'll look at prayer in general by looking at the Lord's Prayer in particular. There is a crisis of prayer in the church today. People turn to prayer as a last resort. Who knows? It might do some good. It couldn't hurt. Contrast this view of prayer with a hymn which says, "Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air." Contrast our low view of prayer with Luther's high view of the Lord's Prayer in particular. In the preface of the Large Catechism, he directs a pastor to pray the Lord's Prayer for himself and for his parishioners morning, noon, and night. And I can barely do it once without my mind wandering or worry. As your pastor, I'm concerned about our problem with prayer. If prayer is a Christian's vital breath, then as a difficulty breathing indicates a physical problem, so a difficulty praying indicates a spiritual problem. I think I know where some of the problem stems from. Lutherans don't count prayer as a means of grace. That means God does not give you strength, forgiveness, or any other gifts by you praying. God gives you his good gifts in spirit only through baptism, word, and communion. However, that truth doesn't make prayer second rate. While God doesn't speak to us in prayer or give to us in prayer, we certainly do speak and give to him. What else but prayer? Where else but prayer can we cast our cares upon him, call upon him, or come boldly before his throne of grace? I'll tell you what not praying is most like. It's most like when there's a problem between you and your spouse and you don't talk about it. It doesn't matter that she already knows about it. If that problem is not spoken about between you, it will remain between you and until you do speak of it, and it will grow ever worse. Communication, it's a key to any relationship, husband, wife, parent, child, creature, creator, savior, saved. Yet you don't seem bothered by your faltering or even non-existent prayer life. What you don't see is that this is part of the devil's plan to destroy you. Luther said that if the devil cannot hinder the word, he hinders faith. If he cannot hinder faith, he hinders prayer by hurling the person into as many activities that he is on, so many activities that he is unable to find time to pray. And so we come to this present season we call Advent and the world calls Christmas. How busy we are in this season. Although we make the time to come to these special services, we come here feeling rushed. We come feeling pushed. We come feeling bothered by a half dozen other things we could be doing now. Our mind is far away from prayer. In fact, we think just about anything else in our life is more of a problem than our prayer life. We should think again. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, and faith always prays. Faith always calls out to God, "Abba, Father, Lord, have mercy, come, Lord Jesus." When faith does not pray, it's not there. Where faith is not, the word isn't really being heard. Not praying with any sort of regularity is a sign of a serious spiritual illness. Prayer is not optional. It's a command of God. He commands literally, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. You cannot ignore or deny a command of God without grave consequences. Many of you think prayer originates with you and your pious little heart. So you think God wants you to wait till you feel like praying. Not so. Prayer originates with God. He does everything necessary for you to pray. He creates the faith to pray, and he sends his spirit into your heart praying, Abba, Father, by means of his word. And just so there's no confusion about you needing to feel a certain way before you can pray, he commands prayer without regard to your feelings. But prayer is not just a matter of commanding, it's a matter of promising. God doesn't just say, ask, seek, knock, but he promises. He'll answer, you'll find, and it'll be open to you. God's promise to answer our prayers makes us all the guiltier for not praying. Luther said that it was as if a rich king commanded a poor peasant to ask him whatever he wanted and promised to do it for him, but the peasant only asked for a dish of oatmeal. He'd be considered a scoundrel for taking both the command and the promise of his king so lightly. And that gets us back to Advent, a king named Ahaz, and God's command and promise that he refused. You know that first reading as the prophecy of the virgin birth. But what you don't know is that it came in the midst of desperate times for Judah. She was literally surrounded by enemies. We're told that the king's heart and the hearts of the people, quote, shook as trees of the forest shake with the wind. God sends this frightened king his word of promise by the prophet Isaiah, saying his enemies are no more significant than smoldering logs that are soon going to go out. But King Ahaz can find no comfort. So God commands him to ask for a sign and promises he will give it. Ahaz refuses to act according to God's command and promise, and he hides his disobedience behind false piety. I will not test the Lord, he says. And that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing when you don't pray because you don't think you're good enough, or you don't think your problems are big enough. You think you're being pious, but you're really disobeying the command of the Lord, and you're despising his promise. But how should I pray? Well, that's not a bad thing to ask. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that we, which the we includes him, we do not know how to pray as we should. The apostles had to ask Jesus, teach us to pray. And he answered them with, say this. And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. But under the influence of the Baptists and others, we think the prayers we make up in our hearts are better than the prayer Jesus gave to us. The truth of the matter is that any prayer that is not in agreement with the Lord's Prayer is not a fitting prayer at all. No matter how pious your words, no matter how deeply felt your feelings, if you ask what does not hallow God's name, serve his kingdom coming, or is contrary to his will, you have prayed wrongly. And if you don't pray, asking for daily bread, forgiveness, rescue from temptation, or deliverance from evil, you haven't prayed adequately. Do you ever find yourself correcting your prayers? I didn't mean that, or I really mean. That happens to me all the time when I pray in my own prayers, in my own words. But when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I pray it with all boldness and confidence, because I can have no doubt that the Lord wants me to ask these things from him. So what are you asking for this Christmas? Everyone knows Christmas is a time for prayer. Scrooge prays. Jimmy Stewart prays. All the world has this sense that God can be approached in the season of Christmas. Well, we Christians know that in Advent, God approaches us. We celebrate his first coming, recognize he's about to come again, and rejoice that he comes every day in water, words, bread, and wine. God first coming near to us, that's what calls us to come near to him in prayer. This is the sign that Ahaz wanted no part of. A virgin giving birth to Emmanuel, which means God with us. God cannot get any more near us than being in our flesh and blood. God takes on flesh and blood in the virgin's womb. God puts himself under all God's commandments, including the one to pray without ceasing. And Jesus does it. Jesus' prayer life never faltered. Jesus never prayed in doubt like you and I have. Jesus never fell asleep in the midst of his prayers. His mind did not wander or worry during his prayers. But Jesus was marched off to the cross as if he had despised the command and promise of God regarding prayer. You know how mad you get when your child flagrantly ignores your commands or refuses to believe your promises? Well, God was madder than that at Jesus because Jesus bore a whole world full of such sins. God sent Jesus into the world to keep his holy laws and to pay for our gross sinning against them. Now, for Jesus' sake, we are tenderly invited to call God Father, not Judge, Father, not Almighty, Father, not Your Majesty, but Father, Dad, Daddy even. Do you remember what your child crying out in the middle of the night, Daddy, Daddy, got from you? You couldn't ignore it. He didn't let it go without answering speedily. And yet you are a miserable sinner. If your child calling out to you in the middle of the night in terror, pain, fear, or need could bring that sort of response from your sinful heart, well, think what comes from the holy, perfect heart of God as we call him Father, as Jesus invites us to. Don't think he doesn't hear us. Don't think he can ignore us. Don't think he doesn't fly to our aid. Ah, but you're not calling out from a bad dream or from sudden noises or from high fever. You're calling to God from the actual rocky waters of marriage. You're not falling off a cliff in a dream. You're plummeting towards a real grave. You don't have a fever-induced fear. You have a real fearful medical condition. But fear, need, and panic in a child call forth the same response from a loving parent regardless of where those things are coming from. Your child called forth in raw terror and you didn't hesitate to come, to speak, to hold, to soothe. Your God in Christ does no less. Your words in the dark night called called your child back to trust. From that state of trust, your child told you further what was wrong. So in this present darkness where nightmares live, the devil prowls and the noonday wastes away, Jesus promises that God is with us in him and he commands us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Jesus calls us back to trusting that the simple Lord's Prayer is the right one for any situation, any need, any fear, any pain. The Lord promises in Isaiah that before we call, he answers, and while we are yet speaking, he hears. We say the Lord's Prayer, and while praying, God answers the prayer. He answers the prayer he gave us where he commanded us to go to meet him, and he promises to be. His name is hallowed in baptism. His kingdom comes in Holy Communion. His will is being done in absolution. Your daily bread is provided for in communion. Your sins are forgiven in absolution. And you are led out of temptation and delivered from evil by holy baptism. God hears and answers your Lord's Prayer above all the frightful protests the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh make. So keep on asking. Keep on seeking your Father with it. Keep on knocking on heaven's door with it. Because our Father who is in heaven answers it, is found by it, and opens to it. Amen.